Well, it's a real joy and privilege for me to be up here tonight and just to be able to say something of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me as an individual. Now, if I was to start to tell you even a little of what he's done for me, I would keep you here for weeks and weeks. So the good news is I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you a tiny bit of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my life and just what he means to me as an individual. Now, I want to say at the outset that when I was a small child, I hated religion. I grew up in a very religious environment and I hated religion. And so I want to tell you tonight at the outset of this meeting that this is not about religion. This is about the reality of a living and a risen Saviour that can change your life tonight. It's not religion. It's Jesus Christ coming to transform the life of an individual. And I want to read one verse, actually Roger has already quoted it in prayer, John chapter 8 and verse 36, which is my testimony tonight, and you probably don't need to look it up, you'll know it off by heart, John 8 and 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I wonder tonight as you've come into this meeting, maybe you've come because somebody that you really know and respect has invited you. And you've come not really because you wanted to come, but because you wanted to satisfy that person. And maybe in the depths of your heart tonight, you're not really free. Well, the Word of God tells us tonight that if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I say that because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, as I said before, I was born and brought up in a very religious environment. I was born on a little island off the northwest coast of Scotland called the Isle of Harris. Now, many of you probably have never heard of it. You'll maybe have heard of Lewis, where the revival broke out in 1949 to 53. I live about 50 miles away from Barvis, where the revival broke out. Now, born into a very religious environment, I'll paint a little picture for you. We weren't allowed to do anything on a Sunday. We weren't allowed to go out for a walk. The shoes weren't allowed to be polished. Nothing was allowed to be peeled on a Sunday. Everything was done the night before. And the TV was switched off at midnight on Saturday night. And I can tell you, as a young child, I hated Sunday. And when it came to late on Saturday night, I thought, oh no, here goes. It's nearly time for Sunday again. And every Sunday we were made to go to church. Now, my first language is not English tonight. My first language is Gaelic. Now, I hope you let me stay in once I've told you that. And when I went to church on a Sunday, the services were in Gaelic. And it was like double Dutch because the theological Gaelic was very different to the everyday Gaelic. And it was so difficult to understand what the minister was saying. Now, my granny lived with us and she was a very religious woman. Now, I want you to listen to this. My granny was a very religious woman and she died at the age of 82. She became a Christian at the age of 80. Just 2 years before she went into eternity, she knew the Lord Jesus Christ had saved her and had changed her life. You see, it's not religion, friends. It's the reality of a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And things changed in our home when I was 9 years of age because my mother came to know the Lord as her Saviour. Now, up to that point, it was all, I was continually told I was going to hell, and if I was a bad girl, I would go to the lake of fire. And then when I was 9, my mother came to know the Lord as her Savior. And she began to tell me something else, that I didn't have to go to hell, that there was somebody who died on the cross, that we could be born again of his Spirit, and we could go to heaven. And I can't remember a day passing that my mother didn't witness to me and tell me about her salvation and that I needed to be saved as well. But you know, the Bible makes it very clear that we're not born as little angels. We're born in darkness and we're born in sin. And there was a real rebellion began to grow in my heart, a rebellion against all that my mother was telling me, a rebellion against having to go to church and listen to all that my parents were telling me. And I can remember when I was about to enter my teens, I was watching the news one night, and my brother and I used to always complain because my granny was a news fanatic. She had to watch the news every evening without fail, and oh, we used to say, oh, it's so boring. But my children do the same to me now, I have to confess that. But I can remember this particular night, the news headlines came on as they do at the beginning. And this thing captured my mind. I had to watch this because it was a group of people and I had never seen anything quite like this before. Now, those of you who are old enough will maybe remember and be able to cast your mind back to the punk rockers. Who can remember the punks? Well, they literally exploded onto the music scene, and that night they had flown into an airport in London, whether it was Heathrow, I'm not sure, but they were being interviewed by the news people. And I can remember being absolutely gobsmacked as I watched and listened to them, and they had spike-dyed hair, and their clothes were all ripped, and they had safety pins through their noses and chains, and then another safety pin in their ears. And they were so outrageous, it was unbelievable. And they hated the government, and they hated the church, and they hated God, and they hated everything. They hated the system. And I remember watching them and listening to them, and the seed thought being planted in my heart that night, that's exactly the type of person I want to be. Because in my heart watching them, I thought that they had found the key to freedom. And you might look at young people tonight and maybe the leather jackets on and chains and, you know, goths and so on. I tell you, friends, these people are searching. They're looking for freedom. That's what's going on within their hearts. There's a searching and a yearning for freedom. And I thought that if you dressed the way you wanted and you spiked your hair and backcombed it and dyed it and did all those things, I thought that that meant you were free. But friends, that's not freedom tonight. Freedom comes from within, and it comes only when the bondages of sin are broken and cleansed by the power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, young person in this meeting tonight? Are you free tonight? Or are you searching through your music, through all these other avenues and keys? It's like trying all these different keys, but you know what? You try them, but they don't turn the lock, and the door will never open. And I remember thinking that night, that's the way I want to go. That's the way I want my life to be. These people are free. And to cut a long story short, I left home. I was desperate after that to leave home. It was as if somehow a light was switched on in my mind, and as if this voice said to me, oh, everything here is so boring. You're wasting your time. There's a big, wide world out there. And I did my A-levels, and I went to Edinburgh to study art at the art school. I thought if I did drawing and painting, this would be another step that would give me this much yearned for freedom. And in September 1983, I left home, and I thought this was amazing because my parents weren't going to be there anymore. My father, by this stage, was a Christian as well. I thought, this is brilliant. There's nobody to make me go to church anymore. There's nobody to read the Bible to me anymore. There's nobody to make me do anything. I'm a free agent. And I thought this was absolutely wonderful. And all the things that I felt in my heart and mind would give me freedom, all the things that the music preaches to young people tonight. And what does the music preach to young people tonight? It preaches that if you take drugs, you're really cool and you're really free. It's not, number one, bondage. The music preaches to us that if we go out clubbing, we'll be free and we'll be really cool. The music preaches that if we live a life of pure and utter rebellion against God, that we'll be free and we'll be cool. Do you know where those lies come from, friends? They come from the devil. And the Bible tells us that he is a liar and the father of lies tonight. Young person, don't listen to the music. Listen to what the Bible says tonight. And don't listen to what's being peddled through the media telling us that all these things will bring us satisfaction. I've been there tonight. It doesn't matter. Fashions change, but the message is still the same. It's rebellion against God. And I went to art college and I did live this life. I thought, right, I've really found it. I've really made it. But after 2 years, do you know what happened? I dropped out of art college. And things weren't as great as I thought they were. And a few months after I had left art college, it was as if an audible voice spoke to me. And it was this. This voice inside my mind asked a very, very important question. It was this. You've done all the things that you thought would bring you satisfaction and freedom, but are you really free? And it was as if I was hit by something. Are you really free? Here I was going on with my life as a young person, thinking that I was superb, thinking that I had it all, and suddenly in the midst of it, are you really free? And I stood back and analysed my life for the very first time, and I had to answer honestly that I didn't feel free. In fact, I felt more bound. I felt like a little spider trapped in the middle of a web. And all around me this web was woven and it was deceitfulness, there was lies, there was darkness, there was the operations of the powers of darkness. Friends, the powers of darkness are no joke tonight. They're very real. There's a battle raging for souls tonight. And it's a very, very real and at times a very violent battle. And it was a few months after that that I came under conviction of sin for the first time in my life. Now I say this, from the age of 3 or 4, I was taught to memorize scripture. So I knew from the age of 3 or 4, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every morning when we went into primary school, we had to recite the Lord's Prayer. We would have learned Psalm 23 off by heart, Psalm 24, and so on. But here I am a few years later, and suddenly it's like coming face to face, not with scripture, but coming face to face with the living God. And I had gone home for holidays, I'd gone home for a few weeks, and all of a sudden it was just, and it happened just like that. It was as if somebody had been following me around during my life with a camera. You know the way they do those fly-on-the-wall documentaries now, and they're so popular, and they follow these celebrities around, and they capture all their movements and everything they say and think and do and so on. It was just as if somebody had been following me around with a camera, and now all of a sudden they've pressed the play button, and in my mind I can see my life being played before me. Sin. Wrong things that I had done, wrong things that I had said, things that nobody else knew absolutely anything about. But listen, friends, God has a record of all our actions, all our thoughts. And he knows it all. And God was bringing this to my remembrance. And I'll tell you, it was a very awful thing. Because when you come under conviction of sin, you're being convinced that you're a sinner. And I wonder in this meeting tonight, have you been convinced? Have you been persuaded that you're actually a sinner. The Bible told me that I was a sinner, but now for the first time the Spirit of God was coming to my heart and convincing me that I was a sinner. It was terrible. I couldn't eat properly, I couldn't sleep properly, I couldn't hold a proper conversation with anybody, and it was such an awful thing. But I left after that holiday and I went back to Edinburgh, and I said this one day to God. I said, God, because I was really conscious that this was a supernatural power that was actually communicating with me. And I said, God, if this was you and you were speaking to me, I don't want you ever to speak to me again. And a few months went past and I heard nothing and I felt nothing. But I'm so glad tonight that God is a gracious and a merciful God. You see, I could take you to places where we missioned with the Faith Mission. And I could take you to individuals who were able to say that they had said no to God for the last time and they never heard the speaking voice of God again. And I'm thinking of one individual. And we did a tent mission outside Newry, and this little man was coming in, an old man in his 70s, coming in night after night, night after night. And we were praying for him, and every night he was in, we were hoping that this would be the night, and praying that this would be the night when this wee man would give his life to the Lord. And I remember one night an old Faith Mission pilgrim who went to be with the Lord last year, speaking and giving her testimony for us. And she got up, and I'll never forget her words. She said, 40 years ago this summer, I did a mission in this very place. And she said, some of you were at that mission. And I'll never forget, she pointed down to where this little man was sitting. And I don't know if she was consciously talking to him or not, but she said, some of you were at that mission, and you're still not saved tonight. And she pointed down to where he was. And I remember that the next night, that man coming out of the meeting with the tears coming down his face, and he put his head down as he shook hands to go out. The next night, he came and sat in that meeting, and as I got up to lead that meeting, I could see his face like flint sitting in his seat. And for the rest of that mission, he was unmoved and untouched by the word of God. About 2 weeks after the mission finished, I got a phone call to say that he had been sitting in the doctor's surgery, waiting to be seen at his appointment, when all of a sudden, just like that, he dropped into eternity. You see, friends, God gives He gave me another chance. I said, I don't want you to speak to me again. But God did speak to me. Don't wait for a second chance tonight. If God is speaking to you, this is the time to open your heart. And when God spoke to me for the second time, I was all set to go down to London to see some of my friends. I was really looking forward to it. And just a few days before we were to go, this knock came to the door, and this man was reading out electric meter. And he handed us out our electric bill, and we were just astounded. I believe to this day that the Lord caused this to happen. Our electric bill was massive. We went down to the electric board and we said, look, this is wrong. We have got this morning. This wee man was here and typed this out, and this is wrong. Because there was weekends we haven't been in the flat, there was nights we weren't there, this is wrong. And I can remember the person going and after a while coming back and saying, girls, this seems to be your bill and I'm sorry, but you've no option but to pay it. Now, we at that present time, I told you I'd left art college, I had dropped out, I had signed on, there wasn't much money, and I knew that there was no way that I could afford to go down to London. So instead, I went home for 3 weeks to the Isle of Harris. I knew they always felt sorry for me. My grannies and my aunties and everybody always felt really sorry for me, and they gave me money. And I knew that I would come back, you know, quite wealthy. And so that was what happened. But God had amazing plans, as he does. And I went home, I say, for 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks, nothing happened. The third week, it was just like that conviction of sin came on me again. Now, trying to explain conviction of sin is so hard. But it was just as if every nerve in my body was raw. It was as if I was shaking inside. I felt the awfulness and the powerfulness of my own sin. Friends, sin is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And if you're not saved tonight, that means that you're still in your sin. Now, I don't stand here as some kind of superior being and saying, oh, you're a sinner and I'm not. I'm a sinner tonight, saved by grace. That's the only difference. I'm a sinner into whose life God has come. And friends, when you feel the awfulness of your own sin, and it was just like it was months before, I couldn't speak properly to anybody. If a member of my family spoke to me, I could hardly speak back to them again. And I remember one Sunday night, everybody had gone to bed and it was just my brother and myself who were sitting in the living room and there was a blazing fire. And I can remember sitting with the poker and working with the fire and saying to my brother, imagine spending eternity in a place like that. And I remember his reaction. He jumped back on the sofa and he said, don't talk like that, you're becoming religious. And friends, what an awful thought that is, though. To spend eternity in the place of burning hell forever with no escape. How awful when God has sent a son for us that we might be free and that we might go to heaven instead. Now, I began to do something during that week that I hadn't done before. I began to take a Bible when nobody was looking out of the bookshelf. And my parents had built a new bungalow and I began to walk the 2 miles every day of that last week when I was under such terrible conviction. Began to walk down and I went into that new bungalow. There was nothing there, just bare floors and radiators. But I began to read the Word of God. And I began to pray this prayer. God, if this is you speaking to me and you're really real, I want you to make it so clear to me that I'll be in no doubt that this is you. I don't know about you tonight. I've never been interested in sham. Something either works or it doesn't work. It's either real or it's not. And I believe God began to really answer that prayer for me. And the night before I was to go back to Edinburgh, it was the end of that week, I was under terrible conviction. There was this awful battle raging. It's like being pulled apart inside. And I was lying in bed and it was as if somebody literally came and stood beside me. Now, there was nobody there. But it was as if somebody stood beside me and went over like this, over the bed and whispered into my ear. And the words were that the thing whispered was this. Break off all contact with your family. Let this be the last time that you'll ever come home again, because every time you come home, you're reminded of eternity. And I remember lying there and I thought, that's right. Every time I come home, this battle starts. I don't want this anymore. And I thought, that's what I'll do. I'll move far away. I'll break off all contact with my family and I'll just live my life the way that I want to live it. But you know, friends, God is always, always so much ahead of the enemy, isn't he? And that's a wonderful thing. God is the sovereign Lord tonight. He is the one who reigns in the heavens. And it was about midnight that night. I was in disarray. I decided that, yes, that's what I'll do. And my mother came into the bedroom. And she said to me, she said, I want to ask you a question before you go away. And she said, I want you to answer me honestly. She said, have you ever had the desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, that was like, imagine being hit by lightning or something. And I lay there and I thought, how did she know? There wasn't one person on the planet that I had told what way I was thinking. I hadn't told anybody that I was under conviction. I didn't even know what it was at the time. Nobody saw me taking the Bible. Nobody heard my prayers. Oh, but listen, hold on a minute. God knew. He knows our down sitting tonight, and he knows our uprising. Did you know that? That when we go to bed tonight, God knows. He knows what's in our thoughts. He knows when we get up in the morning. He knows what we eat. He knows what we drink. He knows what we think. He knows what we watch on the computer. He knows what we watch on the television. He knows what videos we watch. He knows what DVDs we watch. He knows us all together. He knows everything about us. And I remember I broke down and I said to my mother, "How did you know? This was what I wanted. How did you know?" And she said, "Well, early on Tuesday morning while I was praying," she said, "God spoke to me about your salvation." Now that's a wonderful thing, friends. In the place of prayer, God speaks. And doesn't the Bible tell us that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him? And in the secret place of prayer, God can reveal his secrets. And I remember I cried and I said, "I've been feeling so dirty. I've been feeling so sinful. I've been feeling so black." There wasn't words enough to describe the awfulness and the sinfulness that I felt. And my mum said to me, "Why don't you forget about Edinburgh, forget about your friends, forget about everything that you want, and just come home for a while?" And I said, "Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll come home for a while." Now, at that time, the Reverend Caldwell Darra had been having house meetings up at home. And friends, the old saints had felt the islands were on the brink of revival again. And for maybe those of you in this meeting who maybe don't even know what revival means, let me tell you this. Revival is when God breaks into a community. Revival is when God breaks into a town, breaks into a city, breaks into a nation. And people are going about their everyday jobs. People are in the fields. People are in the shops. People are in their homes. And the Spirit of God is breaking into those places and striking people with conviction. And they are aware that God is everywhere. Oh, my friends, the cry of our hearts should be, "Oh God, wilt thou not revive us again?" That's the only answer, friends, to the problem. The tide's too far out for politics to be able to change it. It's too far out for any man-made decisions tonight, friends. It's only God and his revival fire that can turn our nations again. And that's the cry of our hearts. And at that time, Caldy was having house meetings and the saints were meeting together, friends, one night till 4 a.m, praising God. Meeting together in homes, God's presence coming down. And my mother said to me, "If you come into that atmosphere," she said, "you will never want to go back to your old life again." Our friends, she knew. And the following morning I left, I got onto the boat, and that voice was back again, as if somebody came and stood beside me. And that voice spoke again and said, "You're a fool. You're going to give up everything, everything, your ambitions, everything you've ever wanted, the freedom that you've yearned for. You're going to give it up and you'll be left with nothing, nothing but boredom." And so the enemy brought to my mind that day the boring church services. The Christians that didn't seem to have life in them. how boring the Bible seemed to be. But friends, let me say it again. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. That's where they come from. That's the root of all lies tonight. And oh, such a lie that he was telling me. Well, I reached Edinburgh that night, and that almost as soon as I went into the flat, the phone rang. Somebody saying to me, "Oh, great, you're back. Do you want to go out tonight? We're going to such and such a club." And I tell you, I can still remember, 20 years on, I can still remember. Actually, 23 years on. I can still remember the pull. I wanted to go. Oh, I really wanted to go. I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted that lifestyle. But for the first time, there was this incredible, paralyzing fear. What if I die on the dance floor? What if I die in a drunken state and I'm not saved? What if? What if? What if indeed? The reality is, friends, of what if is very simply this, according to the scripture, that if you die in your sins, you'll spend eternity in hell. Friends, there is no escape. If a church service is boring, there's always an end. If anything upsets us in this life, there's always an end. But to a lost eternity, friends, there is no end. And it goes on and on and on. And the reality of that was very powerful to me. And for the next few weeks, I can remember nights waking up in the middle of the night and feeling a lovely sense of what I now know to be the Lord's presence. I didn't know that then. But this lovely atmosphere in the bedroom. I can remember other nights waking up, shaking and literally sweating and feeling the awfulness of the powers of darkness, yes, present. They're real tonight, friends, but hallelujah, Jesus has won the battle tonight, friends. He is the victor tonight. He is the one who reigns. He is the Almighty One tonight. And I was back in Edinburgh a couple of weeks or maybe 3 weeks when I was walking through Waverley Market with two of my friends, and words of a gospel leaflet that I had been given years before began to go round in my mind. And the words of the gospel leaflet was this: if you're unsaved today, you're walking on a tightrope, and that tightrope stands above hell. Any second, that rope could snap, and you'll be lost eternally. And that day, I tried to conjure up all the songs I was so used to listening to, and they wouldn't come. It was just this tightrope, eternity, hell. And I walked back to the flat with my friends that night, and my mum rang me, and she said, "I'm so glad that I've got you." She said, "Because I have a message for you from the Lord." And she said, "I want you to go away on your own. I want you to get the little," she had given me a little white Bible before I'd left home the last time, and she said, the message that God has for you is this: come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, I know Paul was writing to the church. That was a message to Christians, but God knew the impact that that would have on my heart. Come out from among them. Leave your friends behind and be separate. Leave your lifestyle behind. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. And I knew then that God had answered prayer. I knew this is definitely God. And he's speaking to my heart. And on Saturday, the 17th of May, 1986, I left Edinburgh. I made that decision and I went home, not knowing what it would mean to be saved or not knowing anything, but with this one deep heartfelt conviction that I was a sinner that needed to be saved. And I remember that Saturday, it was drizzling, it was wet, it was horrible. When I got home, there was a fog. It was just such a horrible day. And I began to cry and cry and cry that night. And it was this, a very simple prayer. Oh God, have mercy on me, the sinner. God, changed my life. God, come to me. You've shown me. You've brought me under conviction. I didn't know those words. You've shown me yourself. And all day, Saturday and Sunday, I cried my heart out to God, asking him to save me and to change my life. And I can tell you, friends, if you pray that prayer tonight, God answers prayer in a very definite and in a real fashion. Because early on the Monday morning, the 19th of May, it was my anniversary yesterday, on the 19th of May, having cried out to God for salvation, on that morning very early, I can tell you this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life as an individual. I actually literally felt my sin being taken. Isn't that an amazing thing, friends? That when Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit comes into your life and saves you as an individual, that you know that your sins have been taken away. Do you know tonight in this meeting that your sins have been taken away? Now you don't have to go through huge and vast conviction, but you need to know that you're a sinner. Because friends, if you don't know that you're a sinner, you don't know what you're saved from. And I knew that morning without shadow of a doubt, there was a lightness. I'd felt this awful depression and this burden. And that Monday morning, it was lifted off me. And I could feel the cleansing and the newness of life and the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. Do you know that tonight? And I can tell you this, that those years and all those different things, I had tried to find freedom. I thought this would turn the key and I would be really free and, you know, looking for a miracle cure. None of those worked, friends. None of those things worked. But that Monday morning when the Lord Jesus Christ became a reality in my life, I felt freedom for the very first time. You see, it's to do with the heart. It's to do with inside. It's not to do with the outside. It's to do with the inside. And my desire in this meeting tonight would be that if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that even tonight you'll open your heart to him. You'll say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. And friends, he will do that. And I tell you, that afternoon, I felt that God was calling me into his work. And I could go on and on. I'm not going to go on and on. I simply want to say this. God called me into the faith mission. I went in a year later. And God has blessed in ways that are beyond anything. He has taught so many lessons, some of them very, very hard lessons, but nevertheless, very, very necessary lessons. But I have been saved now. I think I was never very good at maths in school, but is it 23 years? Am I right? 2009. In those 23 years, I can tell you this, friends, that I have found the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one who is almighty, the one who is victorious, the one whose precious blood not only has forgiven and covered my sins, but covers my life and gives protection from the enemy. He teaches us in the battle, friends, in spiritual warfare. And in case you haven't realized as a Christian, we're on a battlefield. And during those 23 years, God has given insights. God has allowed things to happen in our lives. God has allowed things to happen in missions that we have seen the power of the enemy. Why? So that we can battle the powers of darkness in Jesus' name and know victory through the precious blood. Friends, listen. He is victorious tonight. And whatever the burden on your heart, Jesus is the one who is Lord. Maybe in here you're not saved. Come to him tonight, friends. If you're willing, you have to be willing to let go of your sin. If you're willing, come to him tonight. He will save you and he will change your life for eternity. Even as a Christian tonight, there could be some bondage in your life. You see, we're living in a generation when people have dabbled in so many things. We're open to different religions. We're open to different things. We have met people who have been charmed as a child. Oh, it's so prevalent, friends. Something so innocent. And yet it brings a darkness and a bondage into their lives. Going to the fortune teller brings a bondage. It needs to be repented of. Let Jesus set you free tonight. If you've been involved in anything questionable, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is here tonight, and he's the one that breaks the chains of sin and sets us absolutely and totally free. And that's my testimony tonight. There have been things in my life along the way, and I have had to come to the Lord, and I have had to say to him, Lord, I repent for that. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I did that. I'm so sorry that I opened that doorway into my life. Now, Lord, I repent of it, and I pray that you'll close that doorway. And that you'll seal it with the Holy Spirit. And friends, there's a freedom that comes. And my desire tonight is this. That in each one of our lives that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. And if you don't know him tonight as your Savior, make this the night when you know that you're going to heaven. That your sins are forgiven. And you're right with God. You see, friends, at the end of the day and at the end of life, nothing else really matters. It's what we've done with Jesus that will really be of any worth. May God help you tonight. May you open your heart to him and ask him to be your Savior. God bless you.